healing of the brokenhearted, and this morning we will touch on the keys to inner healing. Of course, there are many keys, but we will only have time to touch on three very important ones. And that doesn't mean that there's no more to look on inner healing or the healing of the broken heart. But as a church, we try to cover various topics throughout the year so that we have a very balanced diet of different things in our Christian life from time to time. So we're going to conclude on the keys of inner healing. And firstly, we want to read from the book of Psalms. 139. Psalms 139. And it's one of those psalms that talk about predestination, foreknowledge, all those things are included. And I like to especially read from verse 14 to verse 16. Oh, thank you, God, for the rain. Right. And thank you, O Lord, that you stopped the rain nicely for a barbecue today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's just cooling the weather for you, right? And praise God. So, that gives me a chance to preach till the rain stop, right? Anyway, verse 14 to 16. Have you found it? Psalms 139, verse 14 to 16. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now that refers to all of us, of course, although in this particular psalm, David acknowledged his own creation and birth. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eye saw my substance. I like verse 16. Observe verse 16 very carefully. Your eye saw my substance, being yet unformed. Now, of course, we all could, in our modern days today, relate to a single cell creation or our DNA and whatever, that God made us that tiny substance, and from that flows everything else. But look at the next part. And in your book, not down on this earth, but in heaven, God has a record of all the things that David was going to do throughout his entire life. Look at that second part. In your book. Now, is it really a book? Right? As far as a human concept is concerned, of course, in those days, they don't have computers or file or software or CDs or data storage. So, books were the main means. And so, that is how they understood God's filing system. I'm sure when we go to heaven, it'll be very sophisticated, more than we could ever imagine. But in your book, there's up in heaven above, whatever data storage or whatever things that God has made, in your book, they were all written. Now, that is a past tense. David was not even born yet. He was just created. He did not even have all the different parts. Have you seen the pictures of little babies developing in the womb? Right? The single cell. You can't see any eyes. You can't see even the limbs or anything. Nothing. When there was no form, in your book, they all were written. And look at the next part. The days fashion for me. He did not just say, you know, God just write one sentence about you. But every single day of your life was planned. Wow, that's pretty much blows our understanding. You could think about one, trying to plan one life. That's complicated enough. From beginning to end. And he planned all the lives of human beings that are going to exist from beginning to end. billions of lives were planned. Not only was the planning general, but God planned every single day of your life. When you get up in the morning, you're just fulfilling one of those pages. Page, you know, 261. Or whatever that is. Right? Of course, some of your pages, page 666, was not very nice, was it? Right? Okay. So, whatever page your life was, it says, every day, the days were fashioned for me. Look at the ending. When as yet they were none of them. Now, that is predestination and foreknowledge. Amen. God planned everything, every day of your life. In fact, He could go on to say that God planned every hour of your life, every minute, every second in your life. Wow. Can everybody just say, wow? Okay, thank you very much. Right. That is a big wow. You know how big our God is. And when you think about how big God is, and here is where we begin to look into it carefully. I have read the Bible through hundreds of times, probably over thousands of times probably by now, or certain passages that is. But when I first read that verse as a young Christian, this was what I thought it was like. That God planned a plan, the perfect plan. And He wrote down all these perfect plans from A to Z all together. And that I was supposed to fulfill that plan. But when I don't walk with God, I'm outside that plan, outside that book. And so, if some of our lives were not really fully walking with God, we would say most of the time, the book is there, but we are here. And so, in our mind, we consider the fact, especially if you not really live a life, you know, with God, or many times you're straight away from God, you're thinking, most of the time I'm outside the book. Did God really plan all these days? Now, here's the important key to inner healing. You need to realize that God is so big that when He wrote that book up there for you, He included plan A, plan B. Then if you didn't choose plan B, He has plan C. You didn't choose plan C, He got plan D. You didn't choose plan D, He got plan E. And there was never a chance, I repeat, there was never a chance for you to walk outside of all His backup plans. As long as in your heart you still love Him. Or at the minimum, at least like Him. The only chance that you ever go out of God's plan is when you say, I do not want you at all. That's different. But as long as you love Him, as long as you at least like Him, do you like God? Yeah? Okay. At least you love Him. How many here love God? Say, I love God. Amen. And, right. That's all right. Right. Get you a piece of chocolate after this, right? So, okay. That as long as there's that desire even for God, it's there. Somehow, on one of those plans, you're there. Now, to help you understand how that is possible, that God could anticipate every move and every mistake you make. Believe me, God can anticipate every move and every mistake you make. It feels like we got free choice. And we really have free choice. But because He's so much bigger, mightier, greater than us, everything you could think of, He has already thought of. Plus more. You cannot outthink God. You cannot outmaneuver God. That's how big He is. One of the keys to inner healing is to realize how big our God is. Because unless you realize that God is there in the midst of all your failures, troubles, disasters, tragedies, you cannot get healing. As long as you cannot see that somehow God can still bring you out of it, it's hard to get inner healing. Because what happens? Tragedies, things that doesn't work out, failures, and all those things that cause us so much stress and emotional turmoil as human beings tend to make us see God as a small God. But I like that song that, I forgot the singer's name, but he come to me in a while, that he wrote that says, "There is no problem too big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall He cannot move it." And there's nothing, there is no sorrow too deep He cannot heal it. Because God is big. He's big. And to help you understand how big God is, I take some small device invented by men. Right. This is my little chess Kasparov trainer. Right. I've not played chess for a while. But if ever I enter competition in chess, I have to sort of train. And it's very hard to find people to train at your level. There's no fun, you know, playing someone lesser than you because you beat them all the time and you don't really learn. So, this little trainer, now I have 3 sets of trainers. This is my most basic. And the average computerized chip level is about 1500. And then I have another set that goes up to 2100. And that is a rating system. And then another set that goes when I add an extra computer chip and link it to the computer up to 2500. So it's play. When you're over 2000, it's a grandmaster level. So, there is no human brain, no human emotion in this. But for today, today only, any one of you here who can beat this little tiny thing after during the barbecue, I'll give you $10. Okay, $10, okay? $10 at level 2. There are 10 levels here. At level 2, okay? If you can beat this guy at level 2, I'll give you $10. But let me tell you, this guy is good. Okay? His average speed playing is so good that he beats 90% of average people. Woo! Okay, anyway, give it a go, right? No harm trying during the barbecue. If you can beat this guy, I give you $10, right, at level 2. I'll start you at level 1 first, just to train you. Okay, but if you play this little chess set, this is what you discover. Every move you make, he seems to anticipate. And if you think, hey, this is a computer, I'm going to trick this computer. So you try to play a move that you think the computer has not been programmed in. And so you play a very silly looking move. Let me tell you, this guy will beat you flat. And then you think, how come he knows? Right? And in my other church where we have about 3,000 people, we have a chess club too. So they asked for this trainer. So I bought some of these trainers for some of them to train. So one of them was a very keen businessman. You know, he got this little set. He travels everywhere, and he's a salesman. Travels everywhere, and he plays this. And he always comes. He said, "How come this guy knows my move? How come he knows what I'm going to do? How come he knows how to trap me?" There's no brain in this thing. How does it work? Basically, they have programmed all the best moves inside. And inside this little thing, there is a knowledge of over 10,000 games. You can open on any opening you want, and it anticipates every opening. 10,000 games inside. Plus, it has been programmed to deal with all the silly moves you can think of. There is no brain inside this thing, but what it does is this. When you start playing, And let's say you're white and you start playing E4, C4, whichever you want, or D4.